But up next, my next guest spent some 18 years working in Hollywood, including time spent at Universal and 20th Century Fox. She had the opportunity of working with stars like Sylvester Stallone and Robert De Niro in movies, of course, like Rocky II and Raging Bull, and got to know Cary Grant. We're pleased to be joined on the telephone by Lanai Rogas. She is, as I mentioned, worked in Hollywood for about 18 years, but is also the author of a brand new book titled Grief Comfort Guide, A Personal Journey from Loss to Light. And Ms. Rogas joins us on the telephone. Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll get an opportunity to talk about your book in a minute and your memoir and why you wrote it. But I'm curious how you got started. How did the first opportunity come up to work behind the scenes in Hollywood?
It was such a lucky opportunity. I was working for the Air Force as a civilian, and a cameraman said, "Why are you here? You should be in a more fun business. Why don't you go into the motion picture industry?" And I'm going, "Yeah, sure, okay." And he said, "No, I'll set you up an interview." And I didn't think for a minute that that would really happen. And next thing I know, he said, "No, I've got an interview set up for you." And so I went, and they hired me on the spot, and that was at Universal.
Wonderful. And
I got in.
And the rest is history, right? I guess.
It was history, yeah.
Now, what did you end up doing beyond over that period of 18 years? You obviously didn't stay doing what you were hired for.
I started working for writers, and then as time went on, I progressed to working in the legal department. And then I went into production, and I worked for a director. I worked for production managers. As you grow into it, you learn more, and then they give you more opportunities. That's basically what happened for me. I started doing screen credits, and towards the end of my career, I was a paralegal working for Lorimar. So that's basically how it happened. And not only that, you can change because there's always crews and everything. All the movies are changing. So if I decided I wanted to be a production coordinator, I could just go on an availability list and probably, have a good chance of getting hired. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's one thing to see the finished product of a movie on a big screen. It's probably a totally different experience, obviously, when you go behind the scenes and see how a movie is made and interact with the stars as you did. That must have been an unforgettable experience for you.
Well, the crews are so professional and things move so quickly. I was called up on Mother's Day, I think, asking why the horse hadn't come to Kansas. Somebody lost film and we had to find it and track it down. Just crazy things that can cost so much money. But yeah, there's an excitement when a film starts. It's like the director or the producer will put on a different hat. And there's an energy and an electricity, and then everybody just all works together to build this this creative whatever it is, So you start at the beginning hiring the director and the actors and casting, and they have rehearsals, and then boom, voila, it goes live. And even though it's not done in chronological order, the movie shot, cattywampus. But finally, the director will put it all together when they do the editing. The process is fascinating.
Now, Hollywood in the days of Hollywood was Hollywood, is quite different today, I would imagine. In the days that you were working behind the scene, you ran into, as I mentioned off the top, stars like Sylvester Stallone, Robert De Niro, Cary Grant, Mae West. Tell us what it was like. I mean, Hollywood was so much different than it is today.
Well, it was a lot different with Cary Grant and Universal, because they had contract artists. So artists would contract for two or three films, and they they were taken care of. The publicity department did so much work. Now you have so many independent production companies, and they don't take care of their artists quite the same way. You know, they're more interested in just getting down to the nitty-gritty. They have a publicity, then they hire out a publicity department from whoever their distributor is, if MGM or 20th or Universal or whoever distributes it, then that is where all the publicity originates from. So it is different. It really is. In the older days, I think artists were more protected and more things were kept secret. Now everything is out there.
Indeed.
In 2 seconds on Twitter.
On social media. You're with KW Magazine on FM 98.5 CKWR. Our guest is Lene Rogas. She spent some 18 years working behind the scenes in Hollywood, both as a paralegal and doing post-production work for 20th Century Fox. She is also the author of a brand new memoir titled Grief Comfort Guide, A Personal Journey from Loss to Light. This story about you meeting Cary Grant and how you went on to, I think it's safe to say you became friends. You talk about that in your book. It's a fascinating story. Tell us in a thumbnail sketch how you got to meet him and how you ended up having dinner at his place and on his bed, which is how he entertained, I guess.
Yeah. I was in the bungalow at Universal. We all had bungalows, and our bungalow was next to his. And I had to walk down a little walkway to get to my car. So I would see him out there. And one day he just came bounding over to me. And he said, "I say, you're rather shy, aren't you?" And we would talk. And he'd be out there when I got off work. And we started just talking and having conversations. And a few weeks later, he asked me if I'd like to go to dinner with him. And I said, sure. And he said, "Well, I'd like to take you up to my home and have dinner there." And I said, okay. I wasn't going to refuse that. You know. So he took me into his home and introduced me to his housekeeper. And I noticed that a lot of the furniture was covered in sheets, and evidently he spent half the time in England and half the time in California. And the next thing I knew, we were in his bedroom, and he says, "This is where I have dinner." So we both hopped on to his adjustable bed, and his housekeeper brought us, which I'd never had before, champagne cocktails and caviar on toast. And I thought, oh, this is pretty interesting. And then we just talked, and she brought us a lovely dinner, and it was just kind of very, very surreal, because I was looking at him and thinking, oh my God, this is the number one box office star in the whole world, and I'm sitting next to him having dinner. So, you know, and I don't know, maybe he was lonely and he just wanted some company. It's mm-hmm. not that he probably wouldn't have been interested in doing a little bit more on that bed than just eating, but he was a gentleman. So I was very young.
Indeed, there was quite an age difference between the two of you. He also showed you a collection that he was quite proud of. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. He took me into his office and introduced me to his secretary and his producer. But his office had these hanging ceiling lamps that were circular, and I looked up, and they were all covered with dolls from all over the world. And I looked up, and they said, "These are dolls." And he said, "Yes." And he was so proud of his doll collection. All of the dolls had traditional costumes on from every country, and that was his hobby. And I don't think very many people really knew that about him. I thought it was charming.
Indeed. Now, you also went from getting to know Cary Grant a little bit to knowing Mae West, a little bit opposite in terms of I would suspect, personalities. But tell us about Mae West. How did you meet her?
I worked for the director of the first transgender film called Myra Breckinridge by Gore Vidal, and she was cast in the part as the casting agent, believe it or not. So she had written into her contract that she could do her own dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I, because I took shorthand, I was asked to go in and do a, you know, take down a scene for her. Nobody can say one thing and mean something else the way she can. It was absolutely fascinating. And she wore white silk and would talked about herself in the third person. It was interesting. She would say, well, May would do it this way. May would do it that way. And all the time she's creating this interesting dialogue, which I probably can't say. I just found it fascinating. And one of the other things that people don't realize is that she was short. So that sway to her hips when she would walk was actually because she wore real high platform shoes, and she'd kind of drag her hips from one leg. It's just part of her whole persona.
Indeed. You're with KW Magazine on FM 98.5 CKWR. Our guest is Lene Rogas. She is a certified clinical hypnotherapist and bereavement group facilitator and the author of a new memoir titled Grief Comfort Guide, A Personal Journey from Loss to Light. And she also spent some 18 years working in Hollywood for both Universal and 20th Century Fox. Also, you got to meet some stars who obviously a little more in current in terms of their effect on Hollywood, and that was Robert De Niro and Sylvester Stallone, two amazing movie stars. You got to work in both of those movies, Rocky II and Raging Bull. That must have been an interesting experience as well.
Both of them were. Well, understand that when I first met Stallone, he had just finished Rocky, so he wasn't really, really well known. And the Rocky II had just been wrapped, and I think he was ready to head out to do First Blood. So when I first met him, my office was next to his, and he came in to the office with his entourage, and I was sitting down, and He just said, "Did you see Rocky? Did you like it?" You know. So I mean, I said, "Yes, I did see it. Yes, I did like it." But you know, he stayed there because I started working in post production for the film, and he was very active in post production as well. But I did the screen credits and did a lot of setup and music clearance and things like that. So I was more friends with his assistant than I was him, because I didn't see him that often. He was busy. But he was very interesting. You know, he was very nice. And De Niro, you know, was doing, I don't know if anybody knows that, but they did Raging Bull in New York, and then they did it in California. And I, on the last track of California, I was the production coordinator for that, for me and Marty Scorsese. And what that means is that I'm working hand in hand with the production manager, and absolutely everything goes through the desk. If a light comes out, blows out in the makeup table, it's the production coordinator that's called. So I work not so much in seeing them on set as much as I did behind the scenes. But De Niro was really nice, and he'd come in occasionally to say hello to my boss, and I was there. And when my husband passed away, he very kindly donated to the Kidney Foundation in his honor. He was a nice man.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever make it to the screen at all? Did you ever get any parts or offered any parts in any of the movies you worked in?
I... I actually did. I wanted to be an actress as a little girl. I grew up, and I thought, well, being behind the camera would be just as much fun. But I did a lot of, I did 10 years of musical comedy. And during my Breckenridge, while I was working for the director, one of the just very small little part came up because I guess the girlfriend of somebody wasn't liked anymore, and they were at a loss, and the casting director said, well, how about Lene? And so there I was working with John Carradine, the great John Carradine, whose hands were all Arthur Riddick, and he was a wonderful storyteller, but I got my 1 minute
of fame.
I don't know what, at the beginning of the film. It was fun. I loved it.
What,
I didn't say anything.
What prompted you to put pen to paper and write your memoir?
You know how they used to talk in campfires about people who were passed away, and they would tell the stories of their lives? Well, I lost 7 family members, and I thought, I wanted to share who they were and tell their stories because they were interesting. And the grandmother was in World War I, dug her own grave, you know. And I thought, you know, it's kind of like I Remember Mama. It was, I wanted to put these stories down. And then I also wanted to share how I coped when I lost them. And I wrote my 10 suggestions to help ease grief. Out of every progression, what I learned, what I liked, what I didn't like, what helped, what didn't help. Thank you for asking that, John. I appreciate it.
No problem. We obviously don't have enough time to go through many of those points that you highlight in the book, but perhaps you could share what, in your opinion, is the most important aspect of coping with grief.
Grief can be unbearable, and people want to talk to someone who's gone through it. If a spouse or a child or sudden death happens, there's no roadmap, and people are left in a fog. They don't know what to do. They're in shock, and then when these grief waves hit, they don't know if they can get through it. I mean, it can be that bad. And so I wanted to share that you can get through it. And, you know, here are some things that might make it a little easier, but it does take time. And how you cope with these grief waves and, you know, what you can do. And you can't minimize it. You can't brush grief under the table, or you're going to wind up really getting ill because, you know, it's a big stressor. So the best thing to do is find a, I call it find your wailing wall and go someplace private where you can yell and cry and scream and whatever you need to do, and because you need those moments of privacy to really let go of the grief. And, you know, it comes in waves. So that's my number one suggestion.
Wonderful. Now, where is the book available? Is it available online in better bookstores?
It's available on Amazon, both in print and in ebook.
Wonderful. Good of you to join us tonight and share some of your stories from Hollywood. It's fascinating.
It was nice of you to ask me. Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, sir.
Good night. Lene Rogas spent some 18 years working in Hollywood, including time spent at Universal and 20th Century Fox. She is the author of a new memoir titled Grief Comfort Guide, A Personal Journey from Loss to Light. Some music now, and in fact, Rocky's theme, Bill Conti, Gonna Fly Now on KW Magazine.